The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, in the haunt of jackals where they lie down. The grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning the wind. What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message comes from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People came out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." I don't know if I should compare John the Baptist to the Beatles, but we've all seen, or maybe you lived through it, when they first came to America and the crowds were going nuts when they first got off the plane. Right? We've seen this? All right, I would prefer Elvis because it's the only American king that I recognize. But, you know, the crowds that Elvis used to get and the people used to go nuts. But especially, I think, the Beatles. They people just crowded around. They had to see them. Well, John the Baptist was sort of the rock star of his time period. For 400 years, there had not been a prophet in Israel. In other words, God had not spoken to his people in 400 years. Now John comes. If you want to just get a time perspective on how long that would be the equivalent of from when the Mayflower first landed in America till now. That's the time frame we're looking at. That God had been silent to his people. The prophet Amos had said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." There had been 400 years of famine and drought, meaning they hadn't heard the word of the Lord in that time period. But now the drought's over. And the word's spreading like wildfire throughout the land. There is another prophet, a new prophet, and he's out across the Jordan River, and he's preaching and baptizing, and they came to hear him. And John's message was pretty basic. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, the kingdom of heaven is at hand in all of 7 days, because in about 7 days, almost at this exact hour, we'll be sitting in our living room completely stuffed with unwrapped gifts around our tree. Right? Having gorged ourselves senseless. Now, it's not to the wilderness that people go running to today. It's to the stores. Not to repent, but to buy. And it's not forgiveness they seek, but happiness. Because if you just buy that right gift, there's a jewelry company, by the way, that's driving me bonkers on the radio. You know, no, it's not. It's Pajamagram. Yeah, I'm going to pick on them. You buy her these pajamas, and she's just going to give you that look. And she's going to be so happy, and so are you. Whoop-dee-doo! We're talking pajamas! But if you give her this, this will make her happy and your whole Christmas season will now be made. So what was I doing out buying other gifts? I should have just gone to Pajamagram. I don't know, it sounded like Archie Bunker. Never mind, let's go on from that one. All right, the Jordan was absolutely packed with all the people coming out to hear John. They weren't there to buy something, but to receive something. And the gift they were receiving is the gift of repentance. I don't think we always look at repentance as a gift. Because repentance, then, following repentance, comes a forgiveness of sins. And with the forgiveness of sins is eternal life. And what gift is greater than that? So the drought is now over. God has now spoken to his people after 400 years. Which, by the way, is kind of, I think, rather ironic it was 400 years. Because they were in captivity in Egypt for about 400 years, and where God hadn't spoken to them. There's another 400-year gap where God doesn't speak to them yet again. And I'm wondering if God didn't do that one deliberately, but that's only my own thinking on that one. But John is preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand, and the passage that I read from Isaiah has now been fulfilled. John talks about there's a stem on the root of the tree of Jesse. See, they remember David's kingdom as being grand. Now, David ruled roughly 40 years, but 17 of them, he only had a small portion. The other 23, he actually controlled all of Israel. But those were a glorious 23 years. It was the largest that Israel's ever been. David's ships, by the way, and it's recorded in the Bible, traveled, and we found the wreckage of some along the western coast of Africa. So you get an idea just how far down David's reach was as far as trade and power. But 23 years. Now, when I was 17, 18, 23 years was an eternity. Did you ever notice when you get older, 23 years, you just start marking time? You know, 20 years ago, and you don't flinch on it. So what's 23 years in the history of the world? You know, there you go. Sound effect in church. All right, what's 23 years in the history of the world? Absolutely nothing. But that was the grand period of the kingdom. And then along came Solomon. We talk about Solomon being so wise and building the temple. Solomon brought in idolatry. He had 300 wives and he built a temple to each one of their gods throughout the land, which would then be in Israel for the, again, amazingly, another 400 and some years. All right. So they had the grand period of David's kingdom of 23 years and then Solomon. The kingdom then rotted out from the inside. Then God finally just cut it off. Babylonians came in and cut Judah right off at the stump. Now there's a new shoot in that stump. That new shoot would be born in Bethlehem. But now there's a new greater kingdom coming. And the people wanted this gift. John the Baptist was preaching about this gift that had arrived. And the people wanted it. Lo and behold, who shows up? It's amazing they would dog Jesus for the entire 3 years of his earthly ministry, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But they needed the same warning that we need. John gives them the warning, and this is a bit of a paraphrase. It says, the axe that cut down David's tree is at your rotten roots as well. For your hope is in your own goodness, and that is a false hope that produces rotten fruit. Your trust on being a physical descendant of Abraham is an idol. And when you believe in your own lineage and works to save you, then you are your own false god. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John's not the one that's going to come and cut them down and throw them into the fire. The one who's going to be doing that is the one who is to come. And we know that is Christ. Yes, Christ comes to bring forgiveness, but he also comes to be the one swinging the axe. And Jesus has the exact same message as John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So tonight, what are you relying on? What are you looking for? When you look in the mirror, what fruit of the Spirit do you see? Or do you look in the mirror and see, I produce both good fruit and rotten fruit at the same time? Do I trust in my own goodness, my own achievements? Do I look at my life and say, I'm happy because of what I have done? Here's a question. Have your deeds always been filled with love? Your words always kind and helpful? Your thoughts always for the good of others? And your desires always holy and pure? Or is there rottenness in you as well? Well, I can honestly answer that question. There is both good and pure rottenness at the same time. And John's calling the people to repent and receive the gift. And I would say during the Christmas season here, we need to return to the gift. Not return the gift that Christ brings, but return to it. So the day is going to come when he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff and throw the chaff into the fire. Paul gives us the promise. The hope of God wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That we find our hope in the Christ child, not in what the world has to offer. That the confidence we have in life is not based on what we see around us, but it's based on what Christ has done for us. And repentance is not a popular message. You know, people, preachers who preach a lot of repentance a lot of times get the label of, he preaches hellfire and brimstone. But change is necessary. But the only change we usually like is change that benefits us. We don't like change that actually changes us and might cause a little pain. But we need a change. And I talked about repentance being a gift, because in that gift of repentance comes a forgiveness and eternal life. And it's a gift that never runs out of supply, never is too expensive, because it's free to us. Yes, it cost Christ his life on the cross, but it's free to us. And we have that great hymn that we sing at Christmas, O come, Emmanuel. Well, he has come, he is coming, and he will come again. And someday we're going to be just as excited as the people at the Jordan River coming out to see John when Christ reappears. We are going to be that excited that he has returned, because paradise has then been restored. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.